John 3:16. And this year I'm doing it in what? The Voice Bible. Don't ask me what I'm doing in next year. I don't know. I guarantee it will be a Bible. All right. It reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Nudge your neighbor and say, "You're a rescue worker." And as I always encourage you, rescue workers, when they see someone's in the water, they have the life preserver. They don't stand on the shore and say, "What are you doing in the water? How'd you get there?" They don't care. Their job is to rescue. And that's our job, to rescue. There's plenty of time to find out details if they want to tell you. But meanwhile, we have to rescue them, keep them alive. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to share this out of the King James, and then I'll probably at some point share it in two different translations. Verse 18, if you have the King James, let's read it together. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you folks know I think about everything, sometimes too much. And I'm always assessing myself. And this is one of the seasons where I sit back and I kind of do an examination, because I start thinking about Thanksgiving and I start wondering, okay, am I being thankful? Was I being thankful from this year, last year, to right now? I'm not going to tell you the answer yet, but I do that because I'm a believer, as are all of you. You're believers. And between this year and last year, there was much to be thankful about. And the scripture tells us, in everything, give thanks. Well, I had to be honest with me. In everything, I didn't give thanks.
Amen.
And some things I was not pleased for whatever reason. But it doesn't say give thanks only if you're pleased.
Amen.
The contemporary English version, listen to this. It says, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. So it says, whatever happens, keep. There's an implication there. It says keep, and it implies that it's something that you are already doing. You're already walking through the day, and you're giving God thanks, and something happens. Doesn't say stop. It says keep. What we too often do is we'll walk around and we're not giving thanks, and something happens, and now we feel we can't give thanks because we're too busy thinking about what just happened. And we'll give some other stuff. We'll use some other words. I know you've never used them, but you know I've heard about them. And some of those other words are complaining, murmuring, you know, all of that stuff. And we're not giving thanks, and we're not doing it because something happened that we didn't like. So we can't keep thanking God because we weren't thanking him in the first place. See, something happens when I almost had them play that song again, because when they're singing, I want to say thanks, something happens to you. There's this feeling that comes over you because you're saying thanks. Well, I'll tell you something. If we were not saying thanks, if we were saying something else, we were complaining, a spirit would have come over us. And we wouldn't have felt good about it. We'd say, I come to church and I go away feeling worse than I did when I came in. No, well, that's not why we're here. But we need to understand that that's 100% under our control. Because it's just a choice that we make. The scripture says, thank God for everything. It even says, thank God in everything. I remember there was some controversy. You don't thank God for everything. You thank God in everything. Because if something tragic happens, you don't thank God for it. Yes, you do. You thank him for bringing you through it. That's what you do. You thank him because he's there. He's your peace. So we have to learn that for us, Thanksgiving, it's a language. It's a dialect. And I'm going to show you that in a little bit. The Amplified Bible says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Now, you can't get any plainer than that. That takes away, God, I can't thank you. I want to thank you. I know I should, but such and such happens. Well, this translation just told us, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. This is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. So in any situation, really, there's one question we have to ask ourselves. Am I in Christ Jesus? And if the answer is yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You make yourself happy being thankful. No matter what, it can agonize, it can inflict, all these things, yes, they can happen. But we don't have to respond to them in a negative way. We can still respond with the attitude of thankfulness, no matter what happens. That's why this isn't a one-day deal for us. There's nothing wrong with the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, although I was thinking about it today and I said, it's a lot like Super Bowl Sunday, except there are three games instead of one. And Super Bowl Sunday, no one runs out at 4 o'clock to catch the stores to get this to be first online for the sales. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not who we are. And that's not how we give thanks. Now, I went to the concordance to look up the word Thanksgiving. And it's the word, boy, I spent 15 minutes learning how to pronounce this. Eucharista. I haven't learned how to get that guttural sound yet, but we will. And this is what it means. It means gratitude, actively grateful language to God as an act of worship. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's gratitude to God as an act of worship. So when I'm practicing Thanksgiving, I am worshiping God. Now, is there any situation that can come up where I can neglect God and not give him the worship that he's due? No. How many of you believe God is? We really do.
Yes.
How many of us believe Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
So that means since God is, Jesus is the Christ. Everything that Jesus said is 100% true, right?
Yes.
Well, then what do we have to worry about? What do we have to get anxious about? That means we're covered. He's got us covered. And since we know that somebody has you covered, you thank you. just thank you. But it's active, grateful language to God as an act of worship. So when we look at Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It could say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, worshiping God with grateful language, let your requests be made known to him. And look what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now, you know, I like to stop at the word all, because Deacon Ken shared with us that all means nothing left out. It's all inclusive. There isn't anything that all passes over. So anytime I see that the word all in the scripture and look at how it's used, I get excited. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You can look at that as any degree of understanding. You say, I don't understand. The peace of God surpasses that. Or sometimes we have too much understanding, and we'll look at a negative circumstance, and because of our understanding, we'll think the outcome is true. The peace of God will surpass even that. It surpasses all understanding, and it does something else. It says it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Well, that word, that got me going, because I never noticed that word in there before. It's like, when did they slip that word in there? The peace of God, if I give God the worship he deserves, called thankfulness, thanksgiving, his peace will keep my heart and mind. That doesn't just mean hold on to, like, this is mine and I'm going to keep it. Let me tell you about that word. It means, in the Greek, it means to keep with a garrison. To guard, protect by a military guard, either to prevent a hostile takeover or a hostile invasion, or if there is an invasion, it keeps you from being driven out, being driven away. That's what that word keep means. So whatever happens, we continue to thank God, and whatever place we're in, we're safe. Even if the enemy came rushing in, we will not be, you know, have to run away because we're under siege. No, the peace of God will garrison around. God will send down his holy marines and just garrison around us so that we will always be, our hearts and our minds will be safe. Well, if your heart and your mind is safe and you're not under any distress and any pressure, what are you going to do? You're going to skip around, thank you, Lord. Just praise you, Lord. But we have to understand that that's available to us. We have to understand that that's a promise to us. And to appropriate it, all we have to do is exercise the language of thanksgiving. Just saying, thank you, Lord, from your heart, not just from your head, not, okay, this is the, all right, I'm supposed to say thank you, Lord, thank you. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine thanks in the midst of whatever is happening, because you're worshiping God with your grateful language. We've heard this before. Death and life is where? The power of our tongue. By speaking thanksgiving, what do you think you're speaking? Life. Life. But I'm going to read Matthew 12, 35 and 37. Actually, I'm going to pick up. This is out of the Message Bible, so I guess this is somewhere around verse 35. All right. I'll start, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Now see, I found out that God expects a language among those that identify with Christ. And that language, that dialect, is thanksgiving. If you look at Ephesians 5, not going to keep you a long time tonight. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1, says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness," this is what it, how it puts it, "let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." So it means it should never, none of that stuff should ever be associated with being a believer, ever. But it, there's a semicolon there. So that means he's going to say something else, but he wants to put a different distinction on it. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." He said, we shouldn't be found in filthiness or foolish talking or jesting. Those things are not convenient, but we should be giving thanks. Well, that word convenient is very interesting in the Greek. It's a niko. See, I got that one. And it's a combination of two Greek words. It's ana, which means among or in the midst of or to come into. And the second, it means to seek intimacy. Second word is heiko. It means to seek intimacy, to become a follower, or to come upon one. And when you combine them, when something is convenient, what Paul was talking about, it's bringing people together. It's drawing people in to your midst so they can get familiar with you, get to know you, get to trust you, and then follow you as you follow Christ. But think about it. Paul said foolish words is not convenient. So he's telling us that there's some things that we can say as well as do that will not bring people into our midst. So if it's not bringing them in, what is it doing? It's pushing them away. If we're not speaking, but rather give thanks. So if we're not speaking the language of thanksgiving, we're not being convenient. We're not bringing people in. And we have to think about that before we allow some things to come out of our mouths because of what's going on. But here's the thing. Paul was using that word to nicely convey. One of the things I took away from our trip to Greek, and when I'm looking at the epistles now, I'm noticing how Paul wrote. He didn't come with his fist banging and his finger pointing. You know, he didn't say, "You guys are living raunchy." No, he said, "Remember when I was with you, how I conducted myself." That's letting you know, oh, I should be doing the same thing. And that's how we have to learn how to start dealing with each other and with people. Because, and you know, when you think about it, in most of the letters, I thank God, I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. Even though they were, sometimes he was like, when am I going to be delivered? You know? But he was still, I thank God for you. I thank God for you constantly, giving thanks for the people, not complaining about them. You know, this country is in turmoil right now, because there are too many of the right people saying the wrong things. What does that mean? There are too many believers that are not speaking the language of thankfulness. It doesn't matter if you're the candidate that you voted for didn't get an election, didn't win the election. Thank you, Lord. For all men, for kings and all that are in authority. If the person in the Oval Office is not your choice, thank you, God, that our president is not Kim Jong-un. I'm laughing, but I'm being serious. We have to be thankful about those. There's a reason why everything happens. As I told you, if you were one of his adversaries, you would have wanted God to strike dead Alexander the Great, because he just took over everything. But if God hadn't allowed that, there wouldn't have been one language. That's why it's Greek. He brought the Greek language and the Greek customs and Greek traditions and roadways and all came as the troops came marching through. And oddly enough, when everything was finished, he was defeated in the battle that everybody in the world thought he was going to win. He didn't even understand it. But his mission was done. Was done. But if the people would have had their way, he would have been gone. So we don't know what God's going to do with anybody. That's why since we don't know, and you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it again. God, being omniscient, already knows every single person who's not going to receive his son. He's not going to say, I never thought he would have denied me. No, he already knows. And what does he do? He sends some of his best evangelists across their path and will continue to do so as long as there's breath in their body, hoping that they change their mind while knowing that they're not. Now, God can love like that, and he absolutely knows. We don't know. So the least we can do is be thankful for all people all the time and love them like we're thankful that they're here. I mean, that's Thanksgiving. The way, and at least that's the way God wants us to give Thanksgiving. But he told them, he told the people, look, it's not convenient for you to continue in this foolish talking and jesting and all this other nonsense. Give thanks. Give thanks. And it'll become convenient if we give thanks. The Message Bible. That's how the Message Bible puts it. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not callous, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Verse 3, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill spiral into sexual promiscuity and all of that stuff, all right? Through some tongues just love the taste, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow, listen to this, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for the language than that. I'm going to read it again. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Thanks, and tell your neighbor, Thanksgiving is our dialect.
It's our language.
See, God designed it so that our dialect determines what happens. I mean, we need to understand that. Just think of how, take a few seconds, think of one situation that would have been entirely different had you chosen to act out of an attitude of thanksgiving than something else. I know, that's one of those things you try and think of one, and it's like, hold on, just flow right through. Well, keep that in mind the next time a circumstance comes up. And this way you will motivate yourself to operate in thanksgiving. And I got to give you another definition of thanksgiving, because as I share with you on Sunday, I use the concordance, but I also use the books that I have by Rick Renner, because he seems to have a deeper understanding, because he studied Greek for so long. He studied the modern Greek and the Greek and the ancient Greek. And, you know, so he gave a definition of thanksgiving. Listen to this. An outpouring of grace and of wonderful feelings that flow freely from the heart in response to someone or something. An outpouring of grace. Remember we were talking about grace? An outpouring of that force that causes people to act right. It pours out of our hearts when we decide to give thanksgiving. And the only reason it can pour out of our hearts is because we've allowed it to fill our hearts. And if it's filled your heart, then it's become the abundance of your heart. And guess what comes next? Words of thanksgiving come out of our mouths. Why? It's filled in our heart. How can I not be thankful? So we have to, that's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Actually, it says, keep your heart. Build that garrison around your heart. It says, with all diligence. That means nothing's more important than that, because out of it will come the issues of life. If you allow all of that other stuff, the foolish talk and the gossip and all that stuff, to fill your heart, when you open your mouth, that's what's going to come out. That's why whenever I, myself or Pastor Ed, we have to sit with someone, we let them talk. Because then we find out what's in their heart. And then we know what we have to deal with. You don't go into meetings thinking you're planning, I'm just going to say that. No. Let it be revealed, and then let God tell you how to respond to it. Because first of all, as pastors, we're after God's heart anyway. So if I represent God's heart towards you, I need to make sure that I hear what his heart is saying. So I can't go in with any predetermined or preconceived notions. I'm just thankful. Thank you, Lord, that they called for an appointment and they're coming. I don't think anymore, you know, I used to, but I don't think anymore. They've been in this ministry 25 years. They should know better by now. No, I don't think that. I think, thank you, Lord, that they knew the call to come. And thank you for giving me the words to share with them to help them get back on track. Folks, if God expected that we would say the prayer and receive Jesus Christ and everything would be great from there, why would we need 66 books and 5 gifts that we're supposed to study every day? He knew that we were going to mess up. He knew. So Paul knew, and Peter knew. Most of the early church leaders knew. Some didn't, you know. But he knew that also. And he still allowed them into positions of authority, trusting the people to pray and give thanks so that they line up. They, the leaders, line up with what God wants for this area, for this group of people. And it's going to come by our being thankful for what we have. I don't walk around my office and saying, why can't we have the 2,000 people that were here before when Pastor Clinton was here? No, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for these precious folks that come. I thank him for the words that he gave Brother Morris. He said, the core stayed. And he said, the great thing about that is the seed is in the core. So you're all the seeds of what's to come. We just have to be ready when it's time to harvest. And I'm thankful for that. When we look at the numbers, the finances, and we're like, okay, I haven't seen that number associated with this ministry, but... And before doubt can come in, we'll get a call or an email from Marie. Large offering just came in the mail. That's God saying, I got this. Okay, I got it. But we're thankful. We don't let we don't let checks go out unless we pray over them, thanking God for them. Thank you. Thank you for the $80,000. Thank you for the money to pay these checks. Thank you that you told Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah the people will come and the money will come. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom in making the right choices to handle the finances. And everything, it's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's earnest. It's not lip service. And he's keeping us. He's the one. Why are you having services in the sanctuary, spending all your resources, giving all your resources to Orange and Rockland? And we thought about that, but we didn't act on it. So next thing that happened is he gave our facilities department extra work. The roof started leaking, and they had to run around and change tiles, and it got to the point where it wasn't safe, and so we had the roof repaired, so we came in here. And while we were in here, we got the electric bill. And we're like, Andre Rockland, did you read our meter? Because instead of being up here, it was here. And we're like, wait a minute. You know, to the tune, we will probably save, I think the last time I looked, somewhere around $85,000 to $90,000 just in utility bills by meeting in this room. Folks, when are we going back out into the sanctuary? When God tells us. You want us to get out there sooner? Go out, bring the people, and overflow this room. Get us to the point where you have to have 3 services on a Sunday in this room. We'll move into the sanctuary. Meanwhile, thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom you had this room built so that we could meet in here and it could be comfortable and warm. Most churches don't have another room like this. We can put almost 700 people in here with a different seating arrangement easily. And we got them all approved. When we had some work done, when they were checking the structure of the roof, we were in here, I don't know, 6 weeks or so or something while they were doing it. And we got 3 approved plans from the building department so that we can put, we have one for 600, one for 700, and I think we have one for like 820 people just positioned in this room. Let's thank God for that. In everything, give thanks. This is what God wants you to do. When your heart is filled with thanksgiving, your mouth will speak thanksgiving and change will occur. The first place it will occur is in you. You'll start feeling differently about people and things, and then it'll start to spread. And spread, and spread. And you can't, I used to look at some Christians who you know, in my opinion, they got it. I'm like, they're always smiling. When I see them, every time I look at them, it's always like they got a built-in smile on their face. No, they are filled with thanksgiving. And every moment, some of the ministry guests were driving around, they're sitting in the vehicle. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. Oh, Lord, it's good to be here. Thank you, Lord, that we're here at Redeeming Love Christian Center. Thank you, Lord, we're going out to lunch. Thank you, Lord, we're going. I mean, it's constant thanksgiving. And I'm like, I catch all of those things. I'm like, they have, and when you look at what God has done through them, I'm like, okay, there's something there that I'm not, don't quite have yet. I have it now. I do have it now. It really doesn't matter to me what comes. We're going to give thanks. I got it settled. Whether it's all or in, giving thanks. When I went through the medical things that I went through, we gave thanks. We didn't say, why is this happening to me? Yes, I was wondering why it was happening, but I was giving thanks to, hey, I lost 2 units of blood, okay? And the doctor said, your body's healthy enough to handle that blood loss. Well, it didn't feel like that when I was walking to the mailbox. He said, walk to the mailbox, I'm walking, and then I can barely make it home. I take my blood pressure, and I see like 65 over 40, you know. You call it 65 over? He said, your blood pressure's fine. It just doesn't have enough blood to pump. Like, that makes you feel good. I was like, thank you, Lord, that you're keeping me through this. You've kept me and you're keeping me. I didn't know that there was a garrison around me until this afternoon. But that's what it was. You know, he tried to attack Deacon Phil. Thank you, Father. My wife is healthy. Thank you, Lord. You know that you've taken care of her, or you've taken care of her conditions. Thank you that she's strong. She's sure. She knows who she is. I say those things. I'm just sitting down with a TV program on, and next thing I know, it's off. You know, because I just drifted off and was just thanking God for different things. You know, we have grandchildren that we don't see because of where they are. And you know, some of your heart feels like, I want to see them. Thank you, Lord, for the grandchildren. Thank you, they're going to remember that, you know, grandchildren come and visit grandparents. We want to say, see, if you didn't create airplanes and stuff, they'd have stayed in the area. No, the point is, folks, that we just give God thanks. We don't think about the circumstance. We don't really care about the circumstance. It's easy when it's something good. Yes, thank you, Lord. You say, well, how can I really give thanks when it's catastrophic? Thank God for the way he's about to move on that situation. That's what you do. You know, say someone gives me an evil report. Stop calling it an evil report. Stop calling it an evil report. You got a diagnosis. They told you what you saw. Okay, you don't have to. Guess you don't have to do anything about it. God does. You start thanking God, he'll tell you what he wants to happen. And you just do it. And everything is fine. I stopped thinking about whether I like it or not. I was speaking with someone recently, and I was telling them, look, so God told you to come here. Yes. And that means he wants to expose you to this medical facility and this group of doctors. Why would God send you someplace and then tell you, don't pay attention to anything that they say? He could have left you home. But you're going to thank God for the knowledge of my doctor or my surgeon or whoever it is. Thank you, Lord. You're the one who allowed medical science to develop. The devil certainly didn't allow anything to develop that was going to help Christians kick his butt. I mean, he's not going to do that. Thank God for it. And watch the changes start to happen in your life, in your bodies, in your neighborhoods. I'm thinking about somebody's neighborhood who started thanking God and now watching the neighborhood change. Just by going into it with an attitude of thankfulness, of thanksgiving. So I'm saying all this just to say something really simple. Thanksgiving is nothing wrong with it. We need to honor, you know, the help that the founding, that the pilgrims had when they came here. If they didn't survive, we might not be here. But they survived. And that's good. Thank you. But guess what? We survive every day. Word says we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Then what does it say? No, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. Isn't that a reason to say thank you? And my thing is, hey, anything that comes at me must want to be conquered. And if it doesn't know, see, growing up, I'm just about done. But growing up, I used to get upset when people would call me a name. Those were fighting words. I mean, that's... And Mommy said to me, she said, what they called you, is it true? I said, no, it's not true. She said, then it doesn't matter what they said. And I'm like, okay. She said, but let's say it was true. I said, it's not, no, but if it is true, then what they're speaking is the truth, so it doesn't matter what they said. Said, either way, it doesn't matter what they said if you know who you are. Amen. Do you know who you are? Well, if that answer is yes, then we can give God thanks. Amen. Why don't you stand on your feet for me? We're going to give God some thanks right now. In all things, we're going to give him thanks. We're going to give him praise and thanksgiving. At all times and in all things, we're going to give him thanks. We give him thanks.